ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ छान्दोग्य उपनिषत् इन्ट्रोडक्षन् विल् बिगिन् इट् टुडे छान्दोग्य उपनिषत् बिलाङ्ग्स् टु सामवेद సామవేదీయ ఉపనిషత్ అండ్ దిస్ ఈస్ అ బ్రాహ్మణ ఉపనిషత్ విచ్ మీన్స్ ఎన్ ఎలాబరేట్ కమెంటరీ ఆఫ్ ది మంత్ర ఉపనిషత్ ది కరస్పాండింగ్ మంత్ర ఉపనిషద్ ఈజ్ వాట్ కేన ఉపనిషద్ సి కేన ఉపనిషద్ అండ్ ఛాందోగ్య ఉపనిషద్ ఆర్ టూ సామవేదీయ ఉపనిషత్స్ So, Kena Upanishad is a Mantra Upanishad, a small Upanishad. And the commentary, elaborate teaching of the Kena Upanishad presented in the Chandogya Upanishad. See, Brahmana Upanishad. These two belong to Samaveda. So, Samavediya Upanishad. And these two, actually Chandogya Upanishad, is one said to be one of the 10 major Upanishads. What 10 major Upanishads? Every Upanishad is equally important. Every Upanishad means what? Upanishad itself means what? Brahma Vidya. Upanishad means what? Brahma Vidya. Knowledge of the reality. The word Upanishad is a functional name of the knowledge of the reality. Brahma Vidya is known as Upanishad because of the two things it does. It reveals the reality of the entire cosmos as the nearest self. That's why Upani. And Sad means revealing the reality of the whole as one's own nearest self. It destroys the ignorance and the ignorance caused sense of limitation centered on I. It is a samsara. That is revealed by the other word, other component, Sad. Upani. Sad. If you split the word Upani and Sad becomes Upanishad. The first Upani reveals stands for the first function the Brahma Vidya does. What the first thing the Brahma Vidya does? It reveals the reality of the whole as the nearest self. Not as an object but as one's own truth, one's own self. By revealing the reality of the whole as one's own self, one's own truth, one's own self, it destroys what? Destroys ignorance and the ignorance caused samsara, that is indicated by the next component, sad. Upani sad. The second function of destruction of samsara, removal of samsara. Resolution of samsara. By resolving the cause of samsara in terms of ignorance. The Upanishad is a functional name of the word Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality. Okay. So here, and all the Upanishads what now serve as means of knowledge of the reality. So here the question should come, is knowledge of the reality internal or external? Knowledge of the reality, knowledge of anything which takes place in the mind, which rises in the form of a thought in the mind. Therefore it is internal. But here the textbook outside also is called what? Upanishad. Therefore, we here understand Brahma Vidya, which does two things, in terms of revealing the reality as one's own self, thereby destroying the ignorance and ignorance cause samsara as a second thing. That knowledge of the reality rises in the mind in form of a thought, therefore it is internal, but therefore it is what? Prama, it is knowledge. Upanishad means the Prama knowledge, but still the textbook which is outside also is called Brahma Vidya Upanishad because it serves as a means of knowledge. The textbook external, the textbook also is called Upanishad. The knowledge which is in the mind is also called Upanishad. But primary meaning is what? Knowledge. And the secondary meaning is what? The Pramanam, the textbook. Now, here any Upanishad is equally the great, serves as a means of knowledge, Pramanam only. But it's any Upanishad means what? Brahma Vidya only. But why do we call it 10 major Upanishads? What is the big deal about it? I already mentioned why these Upanishads are called major Upanishads. Kena, Kata, Isha, Kena, Kata, Prashna, Mundaka, Mandukya, Tittrihi, Aitareya, Taitriyam, Chandogyam, Brihadaranyakam. Why do we call these Upanishads major Upanishads? Because mainly Shankara Bhagavatpada has written commentary on these Upanishads. First reason. Why Shankara Bhagavatpada wrote commentary on only on these Upanishads, not on any other Upanishads? Because Vyasacharya, Vyasa Bhagavan, has taken the mantras only from these Upanishads for his analysis when he wrote Brahma Sutrani. Brahma Sutrani, one of the Prasthanatrayams. What the Prasthanatrayam? Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sutrani. These three are the scriptural literature for Hindus. Okay? Brahma Sutra, Upanishads, source book. We have Bhagavad Gita, Smriti. Shruti Pramanam Upanishads. Smriti Pramanam Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Sutrani Nyaya Prasthanam. Shruti, Smriti, Nyaya. Prasthana means Prasthanatrayam. Threefold literature, which scriptural literature, which serve as means of knowledge. They're called what? Prasthanatrayam. So here, we do Gita home study independently now, in the light of what we study in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Upanishad class. That is Smriti Pramanam. Smriti Prasthanam. And Upanishad is what? Shruti Prasthanam. We should study these two to enter into Nyaya Prasthanam. What is Nyaya Prasthanam? It's called Mimamsa. Mimamsa means what? Analytical study of the Upanishadic statements of facts. So Upanishad reveals many statements of facts. And how to understand, how to know doubtlessly, assertively, these are the facts. To know that, we have to understand the correct meaning of each word. This is the meaning for this word, no other meaning for this word. That clear understanding, you can have only when we do this analytical study of the Vedantic statements. So, analytical study of the Vedantic statements of fact. Facts is called what? Vedanta Mimamsa. You call Mimamsa Shastram. Mimamsa means what? Analytical study. It's called Mimamsa. So Brahma Sutrani form the analytical study of the Upanishads. So Vyasacharya has Vyasa Bhagavan, when he wrote Brahma Sutrani, he has taken the statements mainly from these Upanishads and predominantly from this Chandogya Brihadaranyaka Upanishads. He has taken the mantras from these Upanishads, mainly from these Upanishads. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada also did what? He also had written commentary only on these 10 Upanishads. Therefore, these 10 Upanishads are called major Upanishads. And if we study these 10 Upanishads, thoroughly understand, it is more than enough. Even if I understand one Upanishad thoroughly, doubtlessly, it's more than enough. Don't need everything, really speaking. Tatyam. But still we study because we need a lot of samskara. Our mind has to be grossest, mind has to become slowly grosser, gross and subtle and subtle and subtle and subtle and subtler. So we need lot of listening, so we study one or the other Upanishads. Is it clear now why Upanishads are 10 Upanishads are called major Upanishads? You know the reason now. The Chandogyam is a special Upanishad because this is the Upanishad where the famous Tattvamasi Mahavakyam also comes from. Tattvamasi Anda Nee Thedugindra Parambarul Neeye Tattvamasi That Thou Art. This is the most well-known, worldwide, popular. Even nowadays in the fusion music, people Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi. Even there it has become very famous. Even the fusion musicians have taken this because there's something very attractive for them. Tattvamasi, 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 Tattvamasi. All this, they have taken so popular. The Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, where is it? It occurs in this Chandogya Upanishad. Okay, now with this background, let us proceed ahead. So this Chandogya Upanishad, let us see the title first of all. Chandogya Upanishad, Chandogyam means what? See, Chandas, let us take the word Chandas. It has come from the root, derived from the word Chandas. Chandogya has been derived from the word Chandas. The word Chandas has different meanings. Chandas means Veda. Chandas means any given mantra. One mantra is also called Chandas. Entire Veda is also called Chandas. And one of the names of the meter, okay, there's so many meters, like Gayatri Chandas, Brihati Chandas, Anushtup Chandas, Trishtup Chandas, we have many meters, names of the meters. When we write poetry, the meters, it's also called Chandas. Chandas is one of the meters. Chandas is a meter. So Chandas means meter. Chandas means Veda. Chandas also means a mantra. Om Yas Chandasam Rishabho Vishwarupaha. There the word Chandas means mantraha. Exalted of all the mantras is Omkaraha. Where the word Chandas means mantra. Chandasa Prayogaha, when I say that the word Chandas means Veda. And here, Chandas also means what? A meter, isn't it? So, but when you say Chandogya, Chandas here means Veda. So, in the Chandogya, in this word, Chandas means not the meter, not the mantra, it means Veda. So, which Veda? Sama Veda. And the Rig Veda mantras set to tunes, the given Vedic tunes, is called what? Actually, Sama Veda. But the very word Sama means music. Sama means another word for music. And why it's called music is called Sama? Because that which, when you listen to the music, all the palpitations become or normal, there is mental harmony. The music is called Sama. Podabada pindri manam yedil ore nilayil irukkirudhu kenna solradhu. Irukka chivadha peru Sama. So that which helps you to remain in harmony. in peace. Therefore, music is called Sama. There's no, you know, agitations or drama. All the thoughts remain the same. There's a calm, isn't it? That's why Sama remain the same. So music, when heard, makes your mind remain calm. Therefore, it's called what? Sama. And Veda mantras set to tunes is what? Rig Veda mantras set to tunes are called what now? Samaveda. It is sung. Samaveda mantras, when you say Rig Veda Pataha, means what? Rig Veda chanting. Yajurveda Pataha means Yajurveda chanting. Atharvana Veda Pataha chanting. Sama Veda Ganam. Not Pataha. Not chanting, but singing. Singing means not like Haptaswara singing. Not Alaparam Gamakam. No. Here, there's a different tunes we have, isn't it? We have little experience in Taittiriya Upanishad. Ha bo ha bo ha bo ahamannam 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 ahamannado ahamannado ahamannadaha. You heard it a bit in Taittiriya Upanishad. So there's a Samaveda, Samaganam. Samavedas are always sung, not chanted. Not like how the classical music is sung, it's a different way of singing the Samaveda mantras. Or Chandogaha. Listen, so Samaganam. So Chandogaha means what now? Samavedi. The person, Gaha means what? One who sings. Gnyaha means one who knows. Sarvagnyaha means what? One who knows everything is Sarvagnyaha. Okay? Grihastaha means what? One who remains at home is Grihastaha. Staha, the one who stays. Gnyaha, one who knows. Gaha, one who goes. But understand, here, in this, Gaha is means what? One who sings. One who sings. So Chandogaha means the one who sings or one who is given to the study of the Samaveda is called Chandogaha. So Samavedi is called what? Chandogaha. Rigvedi. The one who is given to the study of the Rigveda is called Rigvedi. Yajurvedi. Atharvavedi, Dvivedi, surname, Brahmin surname is Dvivedi means what? Those who must have studied two Vedas. And the surname, Brahmin surname is Dvivedi. Trivedi, Tripathi. Whether they study or not, they still have the name. Pillai. But the name is there. Whether you follow what all your ancestors followed up, but the surname is still there. Samayaji. Somayaji. Those who have performed Somayaga. Isn't it? The surnames, all the surnames of any community is based on the karma we've been doing. That's why there's no caste system, there's no problems. It only shows what you are doing, isn't it? Like if somebody is a carpenter, is it wrong to say carpenter? No. Carpenter is good because he does that work. The same way Tripathi, Yajurvedi, Samavedi, Dvivedi means what? That is the job, that what they would have studied. Anyway, so here Chandogaha means Samavedi. Chandogaha is another word for Samavedi. One who is given to the study of the Samaveda, thereby one who has learned to recite, to sing the Samaveda mantras. It's called Samavedi, it's called Chandogaha. And the Upanishad belonging to Samaveda is called what? Chandogya Upanishad. Chandoganam Upanishad. Chandogya Upanishad. Upanishad belonging to the Samavedis is called what? Chandogya Upanishad. We have learned the meaning of the Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogaha means the reciter of Samaveda mantras. So the Upanishad belonging to those who study and recite the Samaveda mantras is called what? Chandoganam Upanishad. Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogargalukku sambandhapatta Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogar means what? Chandogaha means the one who recites, sings Samaveda mantras by learning the mantras, being given to study of the Samaveda. Chandogya Upanishad. Is it clear now? You know why it is called Chandogya Upanishad. And this Chandogya Upanishad consists of 8 chapters. Ashtadhyayini Upanishad. 8-chaptered Upanishad. And of these 8 chapters, first 5 chapters discuss only Upasanani. Only the subject matter of the first 5 chapters are varieties of Vedic meditations. The actual subject matter of the Upanishad, the Brahma Vidya, is presented only in the last 3 chapters. 6th, 7th, 8th, these 3 chapters only discuss what? Brahma Vidya. Therefore, usually Pujya Swamiji, what he does in the courses, he teaches only the 6th chapter onwards he teaches. We leave the first 5 chapters. So, we will also leave the first 5 chapters, but we won't leave it completely. We will quickly look into the first 5 chapters, but slowly, mantra by mantra, word by word, we study from the 6th chapter. Why? Because we are interested only in Brahma Vidya. And here the question may come, if Upanishad, the very word Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, it is supposed to reveal the nature of the reality as our one's own self. It has to serve as a means of knowledge of the reality. Thereby, it has to contribute for the resolution of ignorance and the ignorance caused samsara. Then why should the meditations be discussed as part of the Upanishad? There is Upasana Kanda of the Veda, where Upasana meditations are supposed to be prescribed. Why again the Upanishad texts also, why do we have Upasanani? Why do we have meditations here? The question may come. So Shankara Bhagavatpada gives an answer here. See, Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of the reality, really needs a focused, single-pointed, distraction-free, serene, calm mind. We're all Thivar Mukshus. We're all Jigyasus. We want to know the truth. We are desperately in search. We are desperate for moksha, but are we really qualified for knowledge? We try our best for knowledge, but how focused we are? How single-pointed we are? How distraction-free-minded we are? So, it's very natural for any mind to be scattered all over. So many obligations and things No, the mind somewhere ling is sticking. The mind goes and gets stuck everywhere. When you are very young, it's okay. Yeah, growing old and old are still the same. How you are 16, 17, 40, same weight continues even after. And it means what? Somewhere you have to stop, isn't it? The social obligated duties end with what? Grihastha ashrama. Slowly, that's why we never blame. When you have to do duties, you have to do your duties, okay. But somewhere, now the mind has to become what? Has to be withdrawn. Has to become focused. Attention is needed. Then Shastra teaching will what now? Like every class, whatever is taught, it will go into you like Rasagulla. Everything will get digested also properly. No indigestion problem. No gulping problem. Isn't it? Don't need any sugar cold pills. It will go away if you are focused. Otherwise, it will take very long, isn't it? It will take very long. The food is there all the time on the table. You don't feel hungry at all. And you take out an appetizer and to feel hungry. And then go and then somehow force yourself to eat. Don't feel like taking. And then go. I don't even like it. Taste and flavor doesn't even go inside. And even if it goes inside, my God, I want to digest it. That thing goes waste. Why? Because system is not okay, isn't it? So, Shankar Bhagavatpada says, see, Vedant Upanishad can work on everybody perfectly well. You can't miss the vision of the reality. No, you can't really. But the problem is, the mind, the condition of the mind is what? The distraction-free, focused, single-pointed, calm, serene mind is needed for this understanding and assimilation. Therefore, is nothing wrong. Upanishad also presents, discusses upasanani in the very beginning as what? As a preparatory discipline required for knowledge. Shankarabhada justifies this. I'll ask otherwise. Now, if I talk, my God, when are you going to come to the Upanishad class? We used to think like that. Every class, upasanas are done. When are you going to come to our teaching actually? Still upasanani, upasanani. So, 5 chapters upasanani are discussed. But we are not going to spend a lot of time on those topics. We'll jump to the 6th chapter. We'll start from the 6th, 7th, and 8th. We'll do elaborately. And it's a beautiful lesson. You're not going to learn anything new from the Upanishad, but whatever has been already understood by you from other Upanishads, other Gita, etc., that will become consolidated and clear and ascertained by studying this Upanishad. Okay? And the second thing, I'm going to teach you the Upanishads. I decided, let me do quickly, without seeing word by word meaning, I'll read the mantra, I'll tell you, the meaning of the mantras quickly. We can also cover the upasana portion of the Upanishad also. We won't leave it. Quickly we cover and we'll go to the 6th chapter. And then, I want to teach this only for us to understand how and what the Vedic meditations are. What is Vedic meditation? Upasanani. What Vedic meditation can do? What it cannot do? How meditation is only a discipline to be practiced, for preparing our mind in terms of steadiness of the mind. Otherwise, meditation has no capacity to remove your ignorance. So meditation will not give you knowledge. Meditation as a karma, mental activity, cannot destroy ignorance, cannot remove ignorance, nor can it give you knowledge. Therefore, it is not a means of attainment of moksha also. What you need is jnanam what you need is moksha, and for that moksha what you need is knowledge of the truth, paramburulai patri arivu namakku venum, and for that knowledge you need only shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Okay, and that nididhyasanam is meditation, which presupposes what you must, which should be preceded by shravanam and mananam. But this Vedic meditation, upasanam, saguna brahma upasanam, is not for removal of ignorance, not for attainment of knowledge, not for moksha. Okay, it's only preparatory discipline. It's only for helping the agitated mind, restless mind, become calm and serene, quiet mind. Now, but are we going to practice these meditations, if you ask? Definitely not. We are not going to practice these Vedic meditations prescribed in this Upanishad. Why we are not going to practice these meditations? We are going to read the mantras. We are going to understand these meditations. What these meditations are, how these meditations are, we will understand them, but we will not be practicing them. We do not need to practice them. We cannot practice them. Why? Because to practice these meditations, you must be a Vedic student. We are living in a completely different world, different era, isn't it? See, when these meditations were taught for practicing meditations, those days students were all the time, they would have studied at least one shaka, one branch or one Veda thoroughly. They would memorize the mantras. Before studying the meaning of the mantras, the first thing they had to memorize the mantras. Because those days they did not have the textbook. There was no printing machine. There was not even manuscripts. Everything was in the head of the teacher. Therefore, the teacher has to teach every day. And you have to repeat and repeat and repeat. So, Veda Parshala, what do they do from morning till evening? The teacher teaches, the student repeats. Just by listening, repeating, they had to memorize everything. That's called Veda Adhyayanam. Veda Adhyayanam means what? Listening to the Vedic chanting and then hearing them, then retaining, understanding them, then repeating them, thereby memorizing them. Having the whole Vedic chanting, the Vedic chanting class for listening and then repeating, retaining and memorizing. So every student's head is what? Veda Pustakam. Where is the Veda book now? All the Veda mantras are in the head of every student. So when the teacher, later on when he has to explain the meanings, when he'll chant a mantra to explain the given mantra, to the meaning of a given mantra, we will all be searching here for the papers, and the Veda student will sitting there, he'll turn the pages in his own mind. He'll turn which mantra the teacher tells, and that mantra he can understand the meaning. The whole book must be in the... Nice, na? That is why the whole book must be already in the buddhi. Then later on the teacher teaches the unfold explanation and he can relate to the meaning of the which mantras. That's why amazing, tremendous amount of memory power for all the Vedic students those days, the children. Because memorize, no? The disciplined life also. Trikala Sandhya Vandanam, Samhita Danam, Japa, clean life, not exposed to anything. So they all what now? So they're all virtues also they had. What I want to say here, so the mantra, they had thorough knowledge of all the mantras. And later on, Grihastha Ashram also, when performing rituals, they listen to the mantra, they chant the mantra, they listen to the mantras. So the whole life, the Vaidika's life, is filled with the mantras. Now go to temple, they hear mantras, hear the mantras. All the time, mantras, the Veda mantras, they're soaked in Veda mantras. They're thorough. For such people, you know, the Vedic meditations are very easy. I tell you now, Let me tell you and then stop the class. See, meditation in Sanskritam is called Upasanam, Dhyanam. Saguna Brahma Dhyanam, Saguna Brahma Upasanam is what? Meditation. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. And three factors are involved here. What are the three factors involved in meditation? Upasakaha, the meditator. There cannot be meditation without the meditator. Then, Upasya Devata, the object of meditation, a given deity or a form or Ishvara, isn't it? Upasya Devata, the object of meditation. And this Upasya Devata is what? Really something incomprehensible for the meditator. Okay, why? Suppose you are asked to meditate upon the moon. Do you know how big the moon is? Mm-hmm. Do you know actually how the moon is? Just because every full moon day you see from here some round, big round thing. You see that much is the moon? Moon is not what you see as here, just the moon. No, moon means in this young, you know, when kindergarten class, moon means we'll write one nice thing and full moon. Sun means put on two mountains and then one between, so put some lines. Sun, these are sun for us. This our knowledge of sun. Is that much is the sun? Made it upon sun. Made it upon pear. It is easy. You know what pear is, how the size is, what the color is, what the taste is, how the stalk looks. You know all about pear. You may not know the nutrients of the details of the pear, but still at least you know the size, the color, how the pear looks. It is easy. Suppose you are asked to meditate upon sun, moon, stars, other space, sky. How much do you know about it? Leave alone Ishvara. Even Devata. Do you think, is it comprehensible for the mind? No. So vast, so big, huge. We have no complete idea of what this all of Devata is about. Even if you are given study of astronomy, still our knowledge of Devata, each phenomenon is something in... Without knowing something, how can I meditate upon that? That is why, understand, Upasya Devata is object of meditation, can be any natural phenomenon, which symbolizes, which stands for the Bhagavan, but still, meditating upon Ishvara, the whole, is difficult. Because you are part of the whole. So what we do, we have an alambanam. So upasakaha, upasya devata, and an alambanam is what? An altar, a symbol, which stands for the devata. Understand? Yes, I have to talk so much about meditation. We'll do next class. I won't tell you this much today. So, upasakaha, upasya devata, alambanam. Now, shivalingam is an alambanam. You are the worshipper, the meditator, and the Lord Ishwar, the whole, is what? Upasya devata. So what alambanam is what? You can't meditate it upon the Ishi, the Lord, the whole. Therefore, Shivalinga is what? Alambanam. Similarly, Mahavishnu. What is Mahavishnu? We only see the picture, Shankar Chakra Gada Dhari. Mm-hmm. There is only what? Alambanam. Understand? Mahavishnu means the Lord, the whole. Shivaha means the Lord, the whole. So we have what now? Alambanam. This is Shankha Chakra Gada Dhari means this Alambanam. Pratima Alambanam. Oh, Salagrama. Take a Salagrama. This is Pratika Alambanam. A formless, limbless Alambanam. A limbed Alambanam. Okay, an altar, a symbol, which symbolizes, which stands for something big, incomprehensible, vast is what? That is Upasya Devata is something. I'm not meditating upon a small, tiny little salagrama. I'm meditating upon the Lord on which? And is invoking where? In this small salagrama. It's called alambanam. Understand? So it's called alambanam. So any upasanam involves three factors. Upasakaha, meditator. Upasya Devata, the object of meditation. The deity we meditate upon. Then alambanam, the symbol which stands for the object of meditation is called alambanam. Three. Now, in Vedic period, in all these Vedic upasanani, in all these Vedic meditations, you are the upasakaha, fine. Upasya Devata will be there. And then alambanam taken, alambanam is what actually Veda mantras themselves are taken as alambanam for the Upasya Devatas. When they take the Veda mantras, the words of the Vedas or the letters of the Veda mantras as alambanam for the Upasanam, it is easy for people who know the Veda mantras thoroughly to use the Vedic syllables or the sounds or the words or the Veda mantras, if they are taken as alambanam, it is easy for them to meditate, to practice meditation. We have no knowledge of Veda mantras. It would be too much, isn't it? So it would be too difficult. It is not necessary. And we have substitute for that nowadays. Thank God. I had to appreciate the whole of Hinduism with all its varieties of sects also. All of us have one thing is what? No. There is a substitute for this Vedic meditation. That we'll talk about it next class. What is a substitute we have for Vedic meditation at present? Because we cannot practice Vedic meditation, but still we have something equivalent to those meditation. What we are having, that I'll talk next class about it. Okay? And this Vedic meditations we are not practicing. Why? Because the Veda mantras themselves, the words of the Veda mantras are taken as alambanam for meditations. And we are, with our limited knowledge of the, what? With the, no? It is not practical for us to practice. Therefore, we will understand what Vedic meditations are, how they are, what is the benefit of practicing meditations. We will know all about the Vedic meditations, we will understand, but we will not practice those meditations. And this, in this context, also I'm going to tell you next class, what is that similar, equivalent, substitute for Vedic meditations we have at the present. Okay? I'll tell you next class. Is it clear? So, we have somehow started this. And before entering into the Upanishads, we have to study the Shanti Pataha. Samaveda Shanti Pataha. Sahanavavatu Krishna Yajurvedi Shanti Pataha. Badrankanne Vishru, that is Atharvaveda Shanti Pata. And then here we have what now? We have learned many other Shantis. And here for Samaveda Shanti Pata is what? Om Aapya. Just say once. Aapyayantu Mamangani. Vak pranas chakshushrotram atho balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahma upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam.
Maham Brahma Nirakuryam.
Mama Brahma Nirakarot.
Mama Brahma Nirakarot.
Anirakaranamastu.
Anirakaranamastu.
Anirakaranam me astu.
Anirakaranam me astu.
Tadatmani nirate.
Tadatmani nirate.
Ya.
Ya.
Upanishatsu.
Upanishatsu.
Dharmaste.
Dharmaste.
Mayi santu.
Mayi santu.
Te mayi santu.
Te mayi santu.
Om. Shanti shanti shanti. Okay. We have introduced. Okay. So we'll continue the next class. Basic things we need to understand very clearly before entering into the Upanishad study.